We are up to the topic of the Bayis Shlishi, obviously a major discussion which cannot be ignored when discussing the Messianic era, is the discussion of the Bayis Shlishi, which we hope will be built speedily. I think the general assumption that we all have, or most people have, is that first we will have the Mashiach, and then the Mashiach will build the third Beis HaMikdash. That's the assumption that most people assume. However, if you look at the sources, that's far from clear. So since you have the sources in front of you now, we will look at them together. Looking at number one, which is a Yerushalmi in Meisr Sheni, I'm sure you're all familiar. Amar Rav Acha Zosomer Shebeis HaMikdash Asur Lehibanos Kodem L'Malchus Beis David. The Yerushalmi, in the most clear source out there, says that absolutely the order is not what you have suspected. However, prior to having the Mashiach, we will have the Bayis Shlishi. Now that's a very important statement on many levels. We know that there is a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. That is one of the 613 mitzvahs. The question is, does that mitzvah affect us at all nowadays? Or are we waiting for maybe that was just a mitzvah for the first two Batei Mikdash, however the third Beis Mikdash, you have to wait until the Mashiach comes. Obviously there are people out there on the fringes of our political spectrum who would like to build the Beis Mikdash right away. And we know where it belongs, and there happens to be something in the way there currently. So there are ways of taking care of that, and there is definitely a movement among people, perhaps, who live in the Shtachim, to clear out the area and build the Beis HaMikdash. So their assumption is, like this, that the Beis HaMikdash has to be built prior to the coming of the Mashiach. Therefore, if we want to speed up the coming of Mashiach, as we obviously do, it is necessary for us to first start building the Beis HaMikdash. That is the opinion of the Yerushalmi. The Bavli does not
start or to have it done.
To have it done. So, but in order to have it done, you have to start doing it.
You just lay down a brick and you start it.
Right, okay, but well, let's look at it. Beis HaMikdash Asur Lehibanot. It will be built before the base of... Yes?
People who go up to Har HaBayit now, there are areas that you're... Not just because our cousins won't let us go there, but that...
There's the issue of...
Can't walk there, so how...
Oh, so that's an excellent question. You're saying that a person who is Tomei cannot go in the Mokom HaBingdash, or else he's Chayav Misa Bidei Shemayim. That's a bad thing. We don't want to do that. How are we going to build the Beis HaMikdash without it? So, the least simple answer is what we're supposed to be doing is find the Parah Aduma. Right? Most types of Tumah you can get rid of by going to the Mikvah. The exception is the Tumas Eretz Amin, the Tumas Mace. If somebody comes in contact with a dead person, it is necessary to be sprinkled with the ashes of the Parah Aduma in order that the person can become Tameh, Tahar. We do not have the ashes of the Parah Aduma right now. We've come close a few times recently, as reported in Newsweek, among other popular press. We're trying very hard to get the perfect red cow, but we do not have it yet. So what else can you do? Well, you know, there are exceptions to every rule. So, for example, there are people who go up, there are Jews who go in the Mokom HaMikdash nowadays. Religious people, for example, Chayalim. Right? It is necessary at time for Israeli security forces to be on certain parts of the Mokom Har HaBayis. And therefore, given the security needs, we allow them to do it. So one could argue, if one wanted to, that similarly, you know, if this is what's necessary to build the Beis HaMikdash, so that's allowed as well. That's one approach. We'll discuss other approaches as well later on. Okay, so the first source is a Yerushalmi in Meisr Sheni, which says it very clearly. The next source, which is a Bavli in Megillah, which is probably more mainstream than a Yerushalmi in Meisr Sheni, however, it is not as clear, but it's pretty clear, discusses why we say the brachas of Shemona Esrei in a certain order. There's a specific order for the brachas. Why that order? So the Gemara tells us as follows: Ma'ra'u lomar kibbutz golios la'acha birchas hashonim. Why do we first say mevarech hashonim and then mekabit nidchei mo Yisrael? Diksiv atam harei Yisrael antechem tachtenu ufrichem tisol la'ame Yisrael ki kovu lavo. Kevin says kapsu golios nasa din l'rishonim. So there's an order. Once you have Kibbutz Golias, so then once we bring everybody out of Golias and there is Israel, then God can easier take care of the people that need to be taken care of the Rishonim. Shneamar, Vashiva Yadai Alecha Vatzorif Kolasigecha V'Ksiv Vashiva Shoftayach Rishonam. So therefore, next thing to do is that V'Kevah Shnasa Din, right? Melchor Eid Stokla Mishpah is next. Min Rishonim Kol Haminim. The Yerim Minim, right? So that's why you do the Malshinim next. The Kol Zedim Imaim Shneamar V'Shover P'Shorim Chatoi Miyachdav. The Kevin Shekol Haminim is from its current tzaddikim. So after the Malmishim, we do Ala Tzaddikim, because once you get rid of the bad people, right, the good people end up on top. So there's a logic that's going here. Tiksiv Chol Karni Rishon Megadat from Menon Karnos Tzaddik. Chol Geri Hatzaddikim Tzaddikim. Shneamar B'nei Seva Talkum Radat Pnei Zachim V'Samuch Lev V'Chi Yagur Itchager. The Hechaz Mizrom is Karnam, and then why they have that? Well, where will the Tzaddikim be raised? Be Yerushalayim, Shinemar, Shawu Shalom Yerushalayim, Ashlov Yachtav, Vikavin, Shinivnes Yerushalayim, Bod David, Shinemar, Acha Yashuvu B'nei Yisrael, Bikshu Es Hashem Elo Kechem, Ves David Malcolm. So there's a specific order. And Es Tzemach David, Tzemach being as Avdi Tzemach to Mashiach, comes at what point we're going to Bnei Yerushalayim? What? No, in terms of Shemona Esrei, right? Ramal Shim Al Tzitzikva, we do that, right? And then we do Ala Tzadikim. And then we do. Anybody ever daven? Bnei Yerushalayim, correct? Right, that, right? And then we do Es Tzemach Daven. Right, so the order seems to be first Yerushalayim, then Moshiach. Right, what does Rashi comment? Achar Yeshuv Bnei Yisrael, Achar Yeshuv LeBeis HaMikdash. After Bnei Yisrael go to the Beis HaMikdash, then Ubikshar Kosh Baruch Hu Ves David Malcolm. Then the Moshiach will come. So ultimately, you see pretty clearly from the Bavli as well as the Yerushalmi that the order is first you have the Bayis Shlishi and only afterwards you have the Mashiach. Now it is not as clear as the Yerushalmi is because we have to define what Binyan Yerushalayim is. One could have said that Bnei Yerushalayim is that we have Yerushalayim Habanuya, then you have the Mashiach, then afterwards is the Beis HaMikdash. Only Rashi makes it clear when we talk about Yerushalayim, we mean the Beis HaMikdash. But at least you have Rashi, right? You have Rashi and the Yerushalmi. Both seem to say quite clearly that the order is first you have the Bayis Shlishi, and then afterwards you have the coming of the Mashiach. So both the Yerushalmi and the Bavli on a certain level agree with the statement that the order is not what you have thought, but rather we're supposed to have the Beis HaMikdash prior to coming to the coming of the Mashiach. If you look at the Rambam clearly does not hold that way. This is a Rambam we've read previously, number 4, we'll look at it again from a different angle. In the discussion of what does it take to be proven as Mashiach, the Rambam says as follows: V'miyamod melech mi beis David hoger b'torah v'osek v'mitzvos k'David aviv. If somebody who's a descendant of David comes and he follows the Torah and Torah Shabbal Peh like you're supposed to, and he goes and everyone will follow and become more religious because of this and stronger in their Shmiras HaMitzvos, and he fights the wars of God, that person, there's a strong belief that he's got a chance of being Mashiach, right? As we discussed previously, this is similar to Bar Kokhba. Bar Kokhba did these things, he was Bechezkas Mashiach. However, what does it take to become the real Mashiach? Vim also v'itzliach, ubana mikdash vim komo, v'kibes midcha Yisroch, he's a Mashiach b'vadai. However, if he completes what he's supposed to do, which is kibbutz Golias and the building of the Beis HaMikdash, then he has proven himself as the Mashiach. Right, so clearly the Rambam is not following this. Right, the Rambam is not following the Yerushalmi for sure. He's not following the Bavli the way that Rashi understood it. Similarly, in the Hilchos Maisa Karbonos, the Rambam says, Kol Shiure and Asachem Amor B'Seif Yecheskel, U'minyan Osam HaKarbonos V'Sidri HaVoda HaKsuvim Sham, Kulam Meruim. Hey. V'Nongam L'Doros El HaNovi Tzivafiris Ketzim Makrivin HaMiruim. In Chanukas HaMizbeach, Bimei HaMelech HaMashiach, Sheyibonu Bayis HaShlishi. So if anyone's familiar at all with Sefer Yecheskel, Sefer Yecheskel spends a lot of time discussing the measurements of the Beis HaMikdash and the laws of the Beis HaMikdash and what will happen at the Chanukas HaBayis of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rambam follows has the opinion, and this is probably the majority opinion, that Yecheskel is discussing Bayis Shlishi. All the discussion does not apply to anything that we've had before. And when will the Bayis Shlishi be? Right, Chanukas HaMizbeach b'Yimei HaMelech Mashiach she'ibana Bayis HaShlishi. That's not going to be until the Yimei HaMashiach, when the Mashiach builds the third Beis HaMikdash. So again, the Rambam is very clear in his opinion that the order is first Mashiach, then Bayis HaShlishi, not vice versa. How do we hold? It's very interesting. If you look closely at our davening, it gives us hints. Let's take a look at Yalo v'yavo. Okay, well, say nu Yalo v'yavo, v'yagia, v'yireh, v'yiratzeh, v'yishama, v'yipokeh, v'yizacher, zichroneinu, v'fiktoneinu, zichron avoseinu. Then what? V'zichron Mashiach ben David avdecha, v'zichron Yerushalayim yirkotshecha. So how do we put it? First we put in Mashiach, like the Rambam, and then Yerushalayim, which we assume to buy Shlishi. However, everybody buys that so well because you all daven Ashkenaz. However, according to Nusach Svaradi, which we have in number 7, Elokeinu ve'elokei avoseinu, Yaleh v'yavo v'yagia v'yireh v'yiratzeh v'yishama v'yipokei v'zachir zichroneinu v'zichron avoseinu. Zichron Yerushalayim irecha, v'zichron Mashiach ben David avdecha. So the Nusach Svaradi is the exact opposite. Right, first they say first Yerushalayim Irecha, and only afterwards do they say Mashiach. Now, if you put together what we've had until now, it ends up being very interesting. If I said, okay, the Gemara says X, and that's what Rashi holds like, and the Rambam says Y, who would you expect the Ashkenazim to follow, and who would you expect the Sfaradim to follow? It's the exact opposite of what you expect. The Ashkenazim are following the Rambam, and the Nusach Sfaradi is against the Rambam, understanding Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. It's very interesting. One other note from the Tefillah, and that is from the Birchas HaMazon. This is not only Nusach Sfaradi, but it's also Nusach Sfarad. Harachamon hu yichayenu vizakenu vikraveinu limos HaMashiach. Ulebinyan beis hamigdash ulechaye ha'olam haba. Right, the Nusach Ashkenaz, we don't see any of this. Right. So this actually, if this is a Kalbach song. Those of you who don't have in Svarad, you might be familiar with it from there. One of his better ones. So not that any of them are bad. So how does they have it in benching? In benching, the Svaradi has it the way that we have it. The way that we have it in Yalo v'yavo. That's what you would expect the Sfaradim to hold. So, how would you answer this theorem?
They're covering their bases.
One approach. That was this, Sfaradim. you could try one of those if that makes you happy. The truth of the matter is that if you don't read the Gemara in Megillah the way that Rashi does, you don't have a problem there. Right, we said that we made the point early on that the Yerushalmi is very clear in what it says. Right, the Bavli based on our Shmona Esrei just says that Binyan Yerushalayim comes before Yimos HaMashiach. Rashi is the one who tells us that Binyan Yerushalayim means Binyan Beis HaMikdash. However, we said there's no reason why you have to assume that. You know, it could be Binyan Yerushalayim L'chud, Binyan Beis HaMikdash L'chud. So in Yalo v'yavo, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the Beis HaMikdash or Yerushalayim?
Yerushalayim,
right? So according to the Rambam, who doesn't agree clearly that Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash is the same thing, not a stira, right? The Sfaradim can say Yerushalayim and then Mashiach, because for that concern, Yerushalayim, Mashiach. And in fact, it makes sense, because it's not the Mashiach's job to recapture Yerushalayim. his job to build the Beis HaMikdash there. The assumption being, even according to the Rambam, that Yerushalayim will perhaps be in Jewish hands prior to the coming of Mashiach. So that's why in the Yal HaViyavo they don't really have an issue with it. However, in benching, does it say Yerushalayim? You don't have to think so hard. It's right there on number 8. What does it say? Harachman Yechayenu, right? Limos HaMashiach Uvavinyan Beis HaMikdash. So when they say Beis HaMikdash, there ain't no two ways of reading that one. Beis HaMikdash means Beis HaMikdash. So that one, they follow the Rambam. That first, it's the assumption is Mashiach, then Beis HaMikdash.
If you recall, you said recently that in every generation, there's one person who is potential Mashiach.
Mm-hmm.
May not be.
Right.
Bar Kochba or even the Baruch Rebbe.
This year.
Could have been the Mashiach, but he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be compatible with the viewpoint that there was a Mashiach prior to the Beis HaMikdash, but he wasn't. And then comes a Mashiach post.
Right, but so you're assuming that this person who could have been the Mashiach, but wasn't the Mashiach, on a certain level is the Mashiach. Did anyone follow what I just said?
Bernie did.
Bernie, did you follow it?
What I'm saying is that be compatible with the one who...
Right, again, but I think we assume that the person who could have been the Mashiach, but wasn't the Mashiach, isn't the Mashiach. Right? So therefore... But again,
Luke Babs would disagree with that.
They can disagree whatever they want. Listen, we're a free-thinking, open society. They can think whatever they want. Right? So that is a major machlokes in terms of the order. That's a very important machlokes. The important machlokes is right now, today, are we thinking about the Binyan Beis HaMikdash or not? So it's very interesting. There is someone named Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. Anyone here wrote Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer?
Big
wrote a big Zionist with the Drisha Tzion. What's named after him? Tirat Tzvi. Tirat Tzvi, the people who sent us to Delhi. That's named after him. Tirat Tzvi was named after Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. So Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer wrote a sefer called Drishas Tzion, which was about what he thought. So he had a great idea. At least he thought it was a great idea. He said, listen, you've got a guy, Moses Mendelssohn. He's got a lot of money. Why did he just buy the Makom HaMikdash from the Arabs? And let's start building a Beis HaMikdash. What do you think, huh? Good idea, let's go for it. He said, no, let us all the Gedolim of the time. Now, obviously, there was a problem which no one had considered. Being that everyone was located in Europe, they didn't realize that the Mokum HaMikdash wasn't for sale. And that was a little minor issue that we still can't get around. But let's ignore that for a moment. So they went through the list of issues we have in building a Beis HaMikdash nowadays. For example, if you're going to have a Beis HaMikdash, you need to have Kohanim. Nowadays, do we have any Kohanim, really? Huh? I think you're calling him.
Other than that. Yeah, they are starting to have Yehud's papers.
What? So...
DNA says we do have.
Yeah.
What? The Cohen gene proves nothing. I mean, if you raise it, I'm going to have to talk about it a little bit. So the Cohen gene is a gene that passes down from father to son, and it's found by Cohenim. Right? That sounds pretty good. Now tell me, if some guy's a Cohen, and he marries a Gerusha, a divorced woman, and they have a son, does he have the gene?
Yeah.
Is he a Kohen?
No.
Enough said. Now, you could... The only argument that I'm leaving out there is, can you disprove that someone's a Kohen? If he doesn't have the gene. Right? You can't prove the affirmative, can you prove the negative?
But there are Sfaradim who have Yichus.
So there are Sfaradim, you have some Rappaports out there, you know, there's a handful of people.
Rapp is Rappaport, no?
What?
Rapp comes from Rappaport.
Hey, Rappaport is long for Rapp. Some people change their name. I'm not a Cohen, as far as we know. It's funny, there was one time where I was running the streak. I went to 5 brisses in a row, and each time I got the Bruch of Cohen Tzedek. So I said, maybe it is rough around, maybe she'll give me this. maybe there's something out there. But as far as we know,
the tzedek part was correct.
We like to hope. What a guy.
That was Steve Katz.
Okay. Now everybody on rtoward.org is aware of it. So, who will be remunerated for that kind. So the first issue is what we have now, they're called Kohenei Chazaka. I am a Kohen because my father said he's a Kohen, and his father said he's a Kohen. With no need to expand on that. Right? Is that good enough? That's one discussion. Next, if you're going to have Kohenim, you need Big Day Kahuna. Right? In order to, some Big Day Kahuna have shotness in it. That's a problem. You can't wear shotness. Well, you can if they're real Big Day Kahuna, if they have Tcheles. Do we have Tcheles nowadays? Pretty close is good in horseshoes and hand grenades, as they say. But beyond that, pretty close doesn't always do it. So that was another issue. Next is we're going to have to bring Karbanos Tzibur for them to work. No, you can't have one person donate all the money. You need a Machzis HaShekel from the majority of Klal Yisrael. So getting the majority of Klal Yisrael to contribute is not going to be easy, right? Most people think, well, how can we get the majority of the Orthodox? That's a halbitzar. You know, you have to get the majority of everybody out there. So that's another issue which we have to deal with, etc., etc. There were many difficulties, right? Very important question, which goes back to your point earlier on, is the issue of, does the Mokom HaMikdash retain its Kedusha? There is a machokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam is of the opinion that Kedusha Rishona, Kitcha L'Shaita V'lo Kitcha L'Asalavo, meaning when Yeshua was Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael, he was only Mekadesh temporarily, and when Bnei Yisrael went into Galus, it was over. However, Kedusha Shnia, when Ezra was Marie Mekadesh, he was Mekadesh L'Shaita U'la Asalavo. He did it forever. So that's what the Rambam's of the opinion is, that no matter what, the Mokom HaMikdash retains its Kedusha. The Ravid disagreed. The Ravid thought that Kedusha Shnia also Kitchel Shaita V'lo Kitchel Asadlovo. Why? Because Bro Pritzim V'chilaluha, when they marched in and they burned down and they desecrated the Beis HaMikdash, that was the end of the Kedusha. So interestingly, according to the Ravid, you could walk on the Mokom HaMikdash nowadays, no problem whatsoever. According to most of them, there's no reason why you'd want to. You know, it cuts both ways. If it's not, there's no Kedusha involved there. There's no reason to go to the Kotel. There's no reason to do any of this, because the Kedusha is gone until, hopefully, one day in the near future, it goes back. So if you say the Kedusha is gone, well, going and building a base of Mikdash isn't the problem. Of course, it's a problem because there's no Kedusha there. It's not going to work.
If there's no Kedusha, we can actually build a base of Mikdash any place. It doesn't have to be in that
right
spot.
We can build it right here. Right here, and then right him.
That would solve a big problem.
No, that's Ba'aretz.
What?
At least Ba'aretz.
No, it has to be in Yerushalayim in the Mokom HaMikdash, but it has to have Kedusha. Like, there's no possibility. It's interesting, there's somebody. So I was driving once in Borough Park, and they showed me that on 59th and 15th, there's a guy who built there a house. He calls it the Beis Mashiach, and he's saving it until the Mashiach comes. So someone said, isn't that great? You know, isn't that wonderful? I said, why do you assume that the Mashiach's going to live in Borough Park? It just struck me. It's good. No one even considered the possibility that maybe the Mashiach doesn't want to live in Borough Park. You know, I mentioned that. They looked at me like I was crazy. Where else are you going to live? Of course he's going to live in Borough Park. Right? Maybe Lakewood. Right, so if there's no Kedusha, there's no problem going to that. So there's a lot of discussion back and forth. In fact, the Aruch HaNer's Tshuva Sefer is called the Binyan Tzion. And of course, his first Tshuva is a response to Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalbusher. So among the issues that came up there is an issue which we're going to discuss now, and that is a famous Machokas. Actually, it's not a Machokas. The Rashi and Tosfos actually agree on this. It's a rarity. Right? Rashi in Rosh Hashanah says, Lo k'chich d'ivni somuch l'shkiyah sachamah d'chmitza iv nami d'ivni b'layla. So there's something called, as a little background, called Yashan and Chadash. Right? You see it now more and more than you used to. What's Yashan? Yashan is the opposite of Chadash. So according to the Torah tells us that when you deal with the new crop, anything that grows this year you cannot eat it until after you bring the Korban HaOmer. On the first day of Chol Hamoed, they would bring the Korban HaOmer, and after they brought the Korban HaOmer, that was Matir the Chodosh. And that made it into Yosha, and then you were allowed to eat it. If you didn't eat, if you ate it before, it was a very bad thing. So, what if there is no Korban HaOmer? Then you can never eat it? The answer is no. If there's no Korban HaOmer, then you can eat it at the beginning of the second day. Right? You only have to wait to the Korban if there is a Korban. However, Yochanan ben Zakkai made 10 takkanos. One of his 10 takkanos was that you can't eat it, not at the beginning of the day, seeing that it's not an issue, but you have to wait till the end of the day. Why? Shema Yibana Beis HaMikdash. Yes, on Erev Yontif there wasn't one. But who knows, maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be built and they'll bring the Korban, so therefore wait in case of that. So Rashi and Tosfos, Gemara starts by saying, well, how's that going to happen? You know, it's a process to build the Beis HaMikdash. You can't just wish it, you know. Assuming an Erev Pesach, nobody was started to build the Beis HaMikdash, you know, and we're dealing with union and laborers. There's no way this is getting done. Let's be honest here. So how does it work? So it says, well, maybe it was done right beforehand, on that day. So Rashi asks, and Tosfos also asks, I don't understand. It says, Eshabsosai tishmo ves mikdoshi tiro ani Hashem. You should keep Shabbos, and you should fear, and you should have respect for the Beis HaMikdash Hayim Hashem. So what are those two things doing in the same pasuk? So the Gemara tells us that as important as it is to build the Beis HaMikdash, it's not Docha Shabbos. You're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. You're not allowed to build it on Yontif. So if it wasn't built on Erev Yontif, it couldn't have been built, technically. So what is this big concern of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai? So Rashi says in the middle of the Im Toma, Hechi Mashkachas Lo Di'ivni V'cham Nisr B'Yontov. If you're going to ask me, how in the world are you building a Beis HaMikdash on Yontov? With the Di'ivni B'Leila, and are you building it at night? Well, Kaim Alon, the Mesecha Shavuos, the Ein Binya Beis HaMikdash, Lo B'Yontov, Lo B'Leila. He says, Beferish, you can't build it at night or during Yontif. So how is the Gemara going to get around that? Hani Mili Binyan Bidei Adam. That's if people are building it. Aval Binyan Ha'asad Lavo Bidei Shamayim Hu. The third Beis HaMikdash is not going to be built by people. It's going to come down from Shamayim. Home. Which is very interesting, just to switch back to modern days. If anyone's been to Yerushalayim in the last few years, you'll note that in the old city there is a museum, the Clay Mikdash Museum. And what are they doing there? They're making all the kelim. Right? And in fact, they're very serious about it, because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Avodah Zarah both tell us that you're not allowed to make a copy of the kelim. That's an issur lav. You get malchus if you make a copy of the kelim. So how are they doing it? So they say, explain. We're not making copies. We're making them. So, okay. So let's pretend that, okay, you somehow have the contract on it. According to Rashi, nobody's building it. It's going to come fully stocked. Right? What?
Construction, maybe not the kelim.
Right. So the assumption is that if it's coming down, you know, you're getting it with all the options. You're going to get, right? You're going to get the sunroof. You're going to get, you know, it's coming. It's coming with everything.
Heated seats.
What?
Heated
seats. Yeah, bucket seating. It's real nice. Fancy license plate. You get it all. Similarly, I was referring to Peshent 1. The Tosfos in Shavuos has a very similar point. Ein binyan beis hamikdash balayla, v'chein einu docha yontif. Beim Toma beRosh Hashanah beperek Yom Tov gabe hadatan Yom Hanefkul Alser Kamar Hasam the Ivni Balega the Ivni Bechamisar. I hear the Gemara in Shmuel says you can't build the Beis HaMikdash at night. You can't build it on Yontif. How does that Gemara say that? Yeshroma dahainu beis hamikdash lo osishu also me'eva bidei shemayk v'ksev mikdash Hashem konenu yodecha v'chei mufarsh v'medrash tanchuma. So Rashi and Tosfos, Rashi and Rosh Hashanah, Tosfos and Shavuos are agreeing that there's no real reason to talk about this building because it's going to come down lock, stock and barrel. So among the things that they pointed out to Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalish is, what you doing the work for? We have a guarantee it's going to be taken care of on its own. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, we'll look at it again, clearly does not follow that. Again, we'll just read it all. Number 11, HaMelech HaMashiach Asad Lamor L'Hasi Machlus Beisav L'Yoshno L'Mem Shoah Rishona U'Bone HaMikdash. Right? The simple reading of the Rambam clearly is not that way, that the Melech HaMashiach is going to build the Beis HaMikdash, meaning assuming it's going to be done in a very natural way. It will not be done in any supernatural way. I was speaking to someone in Eretz Yisrael who was very into this, and he said he has a different idea. He said he agrees that we shouldn't build the third Beis HaMikdash now. That's issues. However, he strongly believes that we should build the second Beis HaMikdash. So, help me out here. I'm not so good with the math. I thought we did that one already. So he said, no. Think about it. He said, the Beis HaMikdash at the time of Herod, right? As you know, Herod was not a nice man. He did a lot of really rotten things. He wanted to do tshuva, so they told him that he wanted to do tshuva, refurbish the Beis HaMikdash. So he took the second Beis HaMikdash, which was really in disrepair. You know, they talk about how the Zakenim, who remembered the first Beis HaMikdash, when they saw the second Beis HaMikdash, they were crying. It was so nothing compared to the first one. He went and he made it into something that was perhaps even greater than the first Beis HaMikdash. And among the things he did was he literally knocked down the old one, he put up a new one. Now, was that the third Beis HaMikdash? No, of course not. That was a refurbished second Beis HaMikdash. So we too now, we should refurbish the second Beis HaMikdash. Now, it's been a little bit of a layoff, you know, looking at 1900 years or so. You know, it's been a while. You know things get, you know. You know, there's a strike, it's Israel, there's another strike. Not as much as we try, you know. They tried to fill the papers, the offices were closed that day. You know, they only opened from 1 to 1:15, but not so that was the issue. He thinks that we should rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. So I remember I mentioned it to Rabbi Schechter. I said, well, what do you think? He said, I don't think I understand a word he just said. I just don't understand that. It's over, you know. He said, according to the opinions that they burnt down the Beis HaMikdash and that was the end of it, which is, yeah, it's over. So you have this machlokes in Rambam and Rashi and Tosfos. On the other hand, both Rashi and Tosfos saying that we will not be building the third Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam assumes not that way. The Aruch Haner tries to have everyone get along together. There's a very interesting piece here in number 12. So the Aruch Haner surprisingly says, you know, I understand the Tosfos, Ritva, Rashi, they all say that the Beis HaMikdash ultimately will come down from heaven, but he finds it very difficult to assume that. We always say Meheri Yibane Beis HaMikdash, even that Gemara, Yibane, right, to build, that's what it means, right? Right. Whenever we say sheyibaneh hamikdash, right, that's what we always say. We're not davening that sheyigaleh, right? It doesn't say that the Beis HaMikdash should come down and make itself clear. Sheyibaneh, that's what we're looking for. We did very Rashi, have a little bit mehira yigaleh. So the simple understanding of what we say and what we read is that it's going to be built. Kilo Kalmar Kamon de Kalmar Man Ninu Da Khershi Mani Mashiach Ben Dov Mashiach Ben Yosef Adayu here's Rashi Mashiach Shleim Umnim Lubinya Vesa Mikdash. Right, Rashi refers to them as the Umnim, the craftsmen who build the Beis HaMikdash. So, again, in Kfar Bonui, Meshuchol, Yeri Lamata, my Umnim Shaykh was there. If it's already built, and it's just waiting to come down, you don't really need any builders on it. B'chein Masha Nemra, B'mishnah Tamid, Masha Anu Mespalim, B'chol Tfil Sein, He Rots, and She Yabon, the Beis HaMikdash, Shem Hera B'yameinu, You Tfilah Shav. Came in Shekvar Nivnehu. Right? When we daven Shiyabana Beis HaMikdash, that's silly. It's done already. The most part of Shiyagala Beis HaMikdash from here. Chochein ho yiniru fiyas naiti devadei Beis HaMikdash v'osu dover yibane binyan mamish biyad odom. V'mash nermar mikdash Hashem konu yedecha shenidrus v'tanchuma shiyori lamata hu Beis HaMikdash ruchani. Shiyabana shiyavi l'toch Beis HaMikdash shiyanivna gashmi. So there's two types of Beis HaMikdash. There's two types of Yerushalayim. We talk about Yerushalayim Shalmata and Yerushalayim Shalmala. What's Yerushalayim Shalmala? It's Jerusalem. What's Yerushalayim Shalmala? That's the spiritual Yerushalayim that gives it its special Kedusha. Similarly, he says there's a Beis HaMikdash Shalmata, which we will build. However, what will be necessary is for the spiritual Beis HaMikdash to descend to give our Beis HaMikdash the Kedusha. We have this in the Mishkan, right? They build the Mishkan, they have the Shiva Shimei Miluim, right? And then Moshe has to daven, and Aaron has to chip in order that the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, should have the Shechina in it. So he says, when it talks about all these things, that's what it refers to. But the Aruch HaNer thinks that no one would disagree with the Rambam, that we literally have to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's the basic idea that he has, and that answers the questions. Now, what does it mean that the Kedusha will come down? That he agrees with Rashi and Tosfos, etc. But the ultimately binyan, the building itself, the bricks and mortar, we're going to have to do. There's another approach that some people like to take, which also answers this question, and it's an approach that we've used several times prior. We mentioned, again, it's based on the words Be'ito Achishena, that the basis that the Mashiach will come Be'ito in its time, Achishena speedily. Gemara asks, how can it be both? Zachin Achishena, lo Zachin Be'ito. That if the people, if the Mashiach comes on time, then it will be one way. However, if we are deserving, it could come a quicker way. Similar, we mentioned last week. The Mashiach is like fire from the sky on the one hand, and on the other hand, the Mashiach is also ani rochev al chamor. So we said, well, it depends. If it's be'ito, so it's ani rochev al chamor. If it's through natural, we don't deserve it, it'll be natural. However, if we do deserve it, it'll be very special, right? We mentioned this by Eliyahu also, right? We said, how could it be that we say the Mashiach is going to come every day, but we also say Eliyahu is going to come the day before, and if Eliyahu didn't come yesterday, what's my concern that the Mashiach is, how can I even think that Mashiach is going to come today? Same idea, same difference. So, just like we said that the level of how miraculous the coming of Mashiach will be is directly related to what type of Mashiach coming, is it the timely or the untimely one? That same machokas would apply here. In the event that we have a miraculous Mashiach coming, so that miraculous Mashiach would also come with a miraculous Beis HaMikdash. As Mashiach comes flying in, the Beis HaMikdash can descend right to where it's supposed to be. In the event that it's a natural occurrence of events that through socio-political change brings about the Mashiach, so too the Beis HaMikdash will be built brick by brick, and that's how it will be done. So that is another approach to assume that there's not really a machlokas here, but Either one can still happen. They're both possibilities. Going back to the Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer and his attempts, so there was a lot of discussion back and forth. And that's in fact a lot of discussion about the Tcheras was around there, the Radziner Rebbe, who was the first person who set out to find the Tcheras. People, it's just the history of Tcheras. The modern day history is very interesting. The Radziner decided he was going to find the Tcheras. He went and he became convinced that it was the ink of the cuttlefish. Cuttlefish is something like a squid. He had the problem that was black, so he went to certain scientists in Germany who explained to him that if you mix it with iron ore, it turns blue. He became convinced that they were right. Later on, other people pointed out you mix anything with iron or ore and heat it up and it becomes blue. That's what Prussian blue is. You can take milk, you can take orange juice, you can take Coke, take whatever you want, and mix it with iron ore, it's going to become blue. Right? So that's generally assumed to be wrong. That doesn't stop the Radziner and Chassidim from still wearing it. They still accept it, even though scientifically there seems to be very little basis for it. Afterwards, of Herzog, who became the first chief rabbi of Israel, it was really Dr. Herzog. He got his PhD in Ireland in porphyrology, which was something he, right, did I get that right? Study of the color purple, that's what it means. He identified it as a certain snail, right? The current Tcheras identifies it as a different snail. So it's worthy of its own discussion, Tcheras, but obviously that was a point of contention, whether they're going to rely on the Radziner. In hindsight, it was a good thing they didn't, it would seem. The last issue, which really held them up, beyond the fact that they weren't getting the Mokum HaMikdash for any money, to point out, which was the real issue out there, was that the Gemara tells us, actually the Medrash, the Sifrei tells us, that the last of the Nevi'im were Chagia, Zechariah, and Malachi. Chagia, Zechariah, and Malachi were Nevi'im at the time of the binyan of the second base of Mikdash. And it was clear at the time that these were the last of the Nevi'im. Right, which is why Malachi ends with the pasuk, "Hine Anochi Shaleich Lochem Es Eliyahu Navi Lifnei Vo Yom Hashem Agadol VaNora." Malachi signs off by saying, "The next Navi you're going to see is Eliyahu. There's not going to be any more Nevuah until that point." Sifrei said, "Well, why did they stop Nevuah earlier? Why did they have that?" They said, "In order to be Makadesh, in order to do a Chanukah, based on Mikdash, you require a Navi. So no matter how you slice it, we really can't come up with one of those nowadays." So ultimately, one of the things that's really holding us back is, according to that Sifrei, which a lot of people assume is correct, you can't build a base on Midrash without a Navi. We do not have a Navi at this point. So because we don't have a Navi, we are somewhat stuck on that. So for political reasons, we don't recommend that people start building the base on Midrash now. Try to do the Peshet, do the second base on Midrash. But there is this machokas about how things will work. I think the general assumption is not like the Rishami, it's not like the Ashkenazim, but it's more the way that we daven. The assumption is that first the Beis HaMikdash will come, and then, Mashiach will come, and then we will have the Beis HaMikdash. But people should be aware that there are significant opinions out there that say it the other way. Okay, next week is the final shiur in the series, where we will discuss issues related to Tchiyas HaMeisim. Thank you.